Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's our pleasure also to welcome Marcelo Bacquivelliveres. He's amazing at what he does, and he's an author and has at times been, you know, been called even BZ, the nickname for his blog, known as Half Life Crisis. Marcelo was born in Ecuador and came to the U.S. in 1995, living in Florida, and he owned a business with other members of his family to really dedicate himself to video and web production. And his degree was in commercial art and video production, and in his 20s, he was persuaded by those slick ad promises to join the Navy, but was not initially assigned to the kind of unit he aspired to. One day on leave, Marcelo really saw his true self reflected in the eyes of his old friends, and that's when the realization that we are not truly living life to our fullest actually struck him. When he launched his website and blog, it was an effort to give voice to his own little rants and to talk about things like music and art again, as well as create a platform for the work of his daughter, Samantha. She has used tools like abstract painting and black and white photography to voice the thoughts going on in her head, because she has a nonverbal form of autism. Marcelo has put his various thoughts into book-length manuscripts as well, and on the radio show, he's going to be talking about that. His debut book is really incredible. We're going to talk about that. Authoritarianism and Propaganda, the Puppet Master Tools, examines authoritarians from the Bolshevik Revolution to modern times. And far from giving away naval or governmental secrets, Marcelo simply tells us to take a closer look at what we have seen going on in the world these past few years. And some of it might not just be happening on its own, you know, just out of the clear blue sky. He gets an opportunity to speak to the world and express what he finds most interesting or relevant, and he loves doing that. He's coming to us from Chesapeake, Virginia. Let's welcome Marcelo to Close Up Radio. Marcelo, welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Jim. So, yeah, my name is J. Marcelo Vaquero Alvarez. I know it is a mouthful. So my nickname was actually given to me by my commanding officer when I was stationed on board USS Lake Erie back in 2005. So that in naval jargon, BZ, or the phonetical letters Bravo Zulu, are used as praising message, or which means well done. And because my last name, Vaquero Alvarez, is so long, I was given a lot of nicknames before, such as B-14, although clever, because my name has 14 letters. B-14 is a type of military plane, so it is not as endearing as BZ, hence BZ became part of my own identity. Thank you again.
I like that, BZ. And you're also very busy, BZ. You're always on the go. It's great to have that nickname, too. I tell people you can call me James, Jim, or Jimmy. Just don't call me late for supper.
I agree on that.
Yeah. You've got an amazing story and an interesting take on life, Marcelo. What are a few quick highlights of your naval career, such as when you were joined and where you've been stationed? And the ship you're on now has a very special history, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. So thank you so much. I'm going to try to make it as short as possible because it's been 20 years of a phenomenal adventure. So I joined the U.S. Navy in 2003, and last October I just celebrated my 20-year anniversary in uniform.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'll be retiring in April 2024. My first command was the now decommissioning USS Seattle, AOE-3 in Norfolk, Virginia. This is the ship where I served my first military deployment, and most importantly, is the place where I met the love of my life, my wife, Alicia. And Then I was assigned to USS Lake Erie, and they were homeported in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Yeah, this is the same ship, actually, if you remember, that did the ballistic missile defense shooting, like, for example, the one they showed that damaged Russian satellite. That's the very same ship. I used to work in administration back then, and under that area of expertise, I was then assigned to personnel support detachment in Naples, Italy. So I spent 4 amazing years in the old continent. We traveled a lot, and by a lot, I mean a lot, mostly road trips. It was amazing. By the end of the tour, I was already married to Alicia, and we were expecting our daughter, Sammy. When we returned to Virginia, I changed my specialty to become an analyst and also had a whole share of other short-duty commands, and I was also stationed on board the Abraham Lincoln CVN-72, which is a Nimitz-class carrier, a phenomenal command. This is where I was selected as a Navy chief, and that's one of the greatest honors of my life. In my last and current command, I'm in the world's famous USS Cole, where I was selected as a Navy senior chief, and subsequently we completed recently a 9-plus-month deployment in the Middle East and Europe, as well as a lot of missions in the Atlantic. We floated and moved a lot, and the Cole is an exceedingly dynamic ship, but it is never boring on board. And for anybody who's wondering, this is the same ship that was attacked by violent extremists in the port of Aden in Yemen on October 12, 2000. And I would like to say also that the Cole is not a museum. It is a warship. Our motto is the determined warrior. And although a lot of our shipmates were not even born when the attack took place, the Cole is manned by some of the most phenomenal sailors in the world. And it is very humbling to serve my last tour in uniform on board this national treasure.
Wow. That is something very, very special that you've had an opportunity to be a part of, and it's truly amazing. Your writing also has a purpose to create a better world, right? Tell us about some goals of this plane of yours, for instance, sort of stimulating critical thinking and living without bias, both of which don't seem to be happening in our society lately.
Thank you so much. Yes, that is something that we've been observing more and more, unfortunately. And the fact is that we all have a bias of some sort. It is part of being human. So my intent is to help each one of us, that includes me, to recognize and control our own biases in an effort to prevent somebody else with a nefarious agenda to exploit those biases. For that, we need to enact critical thinking paired with intellectual honesty. These two factors, because they're multipliers, they need to come hand in hand. A person with critical thinking who lacks intellectual honesty runs the risk of becoming cynical, even if they're categorically wrong about their assessment, however well-intentioned their argument might be. So through my writing, I want to bring introspection, where I take the readers through a self-discovery journey. The intent is not to show the world the intent is to show the world through their eyes in a third-person perspective, and then come full circle towards their own introspection. And I have to admit, this process might be challenging for some, but that is why I place a warning on the front cover of my book. So there's a lot of symbolism in everything that I do, and that's part of that. It's a part of the entire process. So the ultimate goal is to help my readers enact decisions with as many realistic data points as possible. In other words, those who push a nefarious agenda will cling to actual virtues from unsuspecting good people in order to exploit those biases against their own best interest. And this exploitation happens. These unsuspecting, otherwise good people will make wrong decisions because the correct decision will seem counterintuitive to them. The reason is because we are decided. The reason is because they are deciding with flawed data points. We all can be vulnerable to that trap at some point. The solution to this dilemma is introspection. Understand that none of us are perfect, but there is more to every story. Even if we experience a small blunder along the way, that's why critical thinking should always be paired with intellectual honesty.
You know, you're so right. Those two things go hand in hand. They really do. Your writing also includes the noteworthy book about authoritarianism, and I think that is so important because, you know, the full title of the book and some of those power mongers, all now dead, you sort of learn about it which I think is incredible. What are some of the lessons we can learn from history, Marcelo, that really help us with some of these events that are unfolding today? And the book, where is it available?
Well, thank you so much. So, yes, the full title for the book is Authoritarianism and Propaganda, The Puppet Master Tools. It is available pretty much everywhere where you can get a book. So I put the links also in my website. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But in the meantime, yes, I did cite a few authoritarians and dictators in the book, and they all have one thing in common. They are all dead. Authoritarians do not appreciate when you call them by name in a manner that would put them in a negative light. In other words, they often tend to retaliate, often violently, to criticism. Everything I speak about this topic is part of historical records. So among other things in the book, we do talk about some of the usual suspects, such as Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin, Saddam Hussein, Lenin, but we also talk about some perhaps lesser known, such as Pinochet, Franco, Mobutu, and among others. And the reason why I chose to cite them is because they are semi-contemporaneous. In order to drive the point that this authoritarian phenomena was not just something that happened back then, so I wanted to show people that, okay, that was not something that is so divorced from our reality and it's part of the historical record, but it's not happening again. The fact that it is happening right now, I just won't cite those authoritarians by name. As I say, authoritarians do not tend to be kind towards criticism. But the telltale signs are something that we can actually identify. I also wanted to contrast the geopolitical situation and the political extremes when authoritarians came to power. This is not a political left or right situation. Historically, authoritarians have come from either side of the political spectrum. By learning from history in particular how these indicators tend to repeat before the authoritarian galvanizes power, then we have a better chance to stop an authoritarian wannabe on its tracks. Authoritarians and propagandists are only as powerful as their followers. The book goes in detail about identifying these indicators to keep us cognizant in order to prevent a nefarious agenda from galvanizing. This is happening in our current reality. At this time, as I said, the book is immediately available in ebook and for pre-order on paperback. Both versions are available worldwide. Any way you can buy or pre-order a book, for example, BookBaby, Bookshop, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, and most, if not all, of the ebooks outlets out there. Of course, I added in our website, www.halflifecrisis.com, direct links to all the main different vendors I was able to identify who are carrying the book right now.
That's incredible. In addition to all of that, congratulations on the book. You also have, as you're welcome, as part of the media history, the company that you run with your family. Tell us more about bzvision.com and your video and web development services, Marcelo.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim. So BZ Vision LLC was founded in the city of Chesapeake, Virginia in 2013, along with my brother, David. He's an awesome person, and he's sitting with me here somewhere right now in the house. The concept of BZ Vision was born when I had a vision. This vision happened when I was stationed in Hawaii in 2005, when I was in USS Lake Erie. So what I wanted to do is to create a vehicle to promote artistic and professional multimedia services to anybody who would need it. Back then, developing and designing a website or any content creation for that matter was very different to what we take for granted today. BZ Vision LLC was a company has adjusted a few times through the times because, you know, the only permanent thing in life is change, you know. so we had to adapt. The company is composed of two parts. First is a fully customized in-person web development company, and it is also a fully automatic web development digital marketplace. So our customized services are meant to be for face-to-face boutique-style website by visiting www.bzvision.com, that is BEZEEvision.com. But because of my military commitment, pretty much duty always takes precedence. So we are limited on how many projects we could handle at the time. So for that reason, we also offer our 24/7 fully automated services under our other site, which is www.bzvweb.com. In the latter, we offer web domains, hosting, server security. So the type of services that usually are targeted to more established web developers, but we're making them available to every user no matter what tech skill level, full control over the creative process in the self-service site. And if they have any questions, of course, or they need more personalized assistance, they can always reach to us and schedule a personalized service. All automated services can also be transferred to the fully customized services if need be. And I will definitely have a lot more time to be doing more personalized services as I'm getting ready to transition out of uniform in the next few months. And finally, one additional development for BC Vision LLC pertains to the publication of my manuscript. I wrote a few while I was on deployment, and I'm trying to make them out up to the world. So based on how this will go, I will be very happy to help other independent authors in the future under the same banner. It is all part about giving that creative vehicle for artistic expression that I was speaking about.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is fantastic. You know, when you really look at your story, it is extraordinary, right? And there is the website halflifecrisis.com as well, which also has some of your thought-provoking writing work, doesn't it?
Yes, thank you. That was one of the reasons why I decided to do Half-Life Crisis. And if you go to the site, to the very article, it actually tells you where it was the epiphany, how it started. But I figured that I have a lot to say, and I wanted to write it in a way that would do a win-win situation. First, it would not be tumbling in my head. It would be in a demonstrable manner, and hopefully somebody's going to be able to benefit for what I have to say. So a win-win situation for me.
That's really fantastic. Yeah. You want to say hi, Sammy, to your amazing daughter listening too, don't you?
Oh, yes. Sammy, she's right now at school, and we've been hanging out a lot more now that the ship is not too far away. So I'm always so proud of her. Hi, Sammy, if you ever hear this.
That's it. Hello, Sammy. You know, you put your thoughts into, as I mentioned, the book length, manuscripts, and as we're talking about it here on the show with your debut book, and you examine authoritarians from the Bolshevik Revolution to modern times, and even figures like Mussolini and Hitler, Saddam Hussein, and including the way they took advantage of what was occurring back then to sort of mold public opinion and usurp power. You see similar things happening in our world right now, don't you?
I do. Unfortunately, history tends to repeat itself, and although we all have a proclivity to be phenomenal, sometimes we have a tendency to be victims of our own grandiosity. What does that mean? Somebody else before in the driver's seat was making the correct decisions, but now whoever is going to be the next generation that needs to be making those important decisions, they might not have been getting the full pass down. So that's what I want to express through my writing. I want to be able to show in a way that maybe we haven't actually seen that. Maybe we're getting a little too distracted. But if we can actually see it with actual examples and identify these factors and events, you know, and I keep saying factors because they're multipliers. You know, somebody with a nefarious platform can poison the well for millions of people and then normalize these nefarious agendas, and that's what I wanted to change.
Well,
at least express it in one way.
Right, and that's really important to be able to express it. What was the writing process like for you, actually putting this all down on paper and writing a book? You know, that can be very daunting for some people who, you know, are doing it for the very first time. How long did it take to write the book, and what was the process like gathering all the information, the material together?
So the process was actually very, very long. Thank you for that question, because even though actually sitting down and typing the book did not take as long, I've been researching this topic for decades, and I have been front and center in historical events when we've seen these authoritarians, maybe not necessarily in the political discourse in the West, you know, but a lot of other nations that are not necessarily the U.S., And I've seen how this playbook keeps going and going over and over again. So while I was on deployment, I actually wrote a few other manuscripts, And the first one that I wanted to release is this one, which is actually the third manuscript that I wrote during the deployment. It's because the topic is emergent. Maybe you actually have seen through the media now opening or flipping through the different channels, and everybody's actually talking about how this authoritarianism is actually taking foothold on our communities. But I've been seeing this already for several years, and finally, maybe very well timed, my book is coming out there, and hopefully it's going to help somebody see it. When I wanted to make the book, I wanted to make it a short reading so you can actually assimilate it, hopefully very quickly in a down-to-earth manner. But it is meant to be read a few more times. So as you see it the first time, then kind of like going back. So it's not just like a one-off type of reading. And as I say, there's like many, many, many Easter eggs hidden all over in my writing.
Which is really incredible. What are some of the other things that you hope will come from your efforts and all that you're doing when you look to the future?
What I really would like to do is help us, and I include myself, make sure that we don't fall in a trap of losing our objectivity or getting distracted. Particularly, there's a lot of willful ignorance in the world, and willful ignorance is tacit consent for somebody else to take advantage over your life without you being able to have any decision-making abilities over that. And most importantly, a lot of times the tacit consent that we give to propagandists, we don't even realize it because it has become normalized. Or sometimes people might get into an echo chamber and they don't realize that they're making decisions against their best judgment and are their best and against their best interest. So my intent, hopefully, with my writing is that it's going to create that introspection. Not just necessarily seeing from the inside out, okay, this is what somebody else is doing, but come full circle and say, okay, maybe this might be applying also to me at some point. And spoiler alert, it can be applying to us at any point. Maybe we are super awesome today and we have all our ducks on the road at this moment, but then tomorrow we might be persuaded to do something that is against our best interest. So kind of like a check and balances. Hopefully that answers the question.
It does, yeah, and it's really important to pay heed to all of that. It sounds like you have genuine concerns enough to where you wanted to get this story out and share it with people, almost sort of shake us awake and say, look, you know, folks, wake up here. The writing is on the wall. Like you said, history repeats itself. Very important to pay heed to some of it. You know, we lead such busy lives. We're always so concerned about what is in front of us, but sometimes we miss what's in front of us and what's around us. Tell us about the importance of really paying heed to everything that's going on.
Thank you so much. I do agree with you. So, yeah, importance is that somebody said, and I'm going to be quoting one of the great leaders that I had in the Navy, sometimes we're victims of our own grandiosity. And what does that mean? Sometimes when you are number one, you're doing everything right, and it seems that you're on top of the world, it might be very easy to think that we don't have any room for improvement. But the thing is that the world is not just one-off. It's changing. It's dynamic. There's always going to be opportunists here and everywhere. So what I really want to make sure is that I can drive that point that if we continue paying attention to what is correct rather than just paying attention to some of the noise that is there that is designed to distract us and to give us a redacted version of a full narrative, then hopefully that is going to make it better for us all. Hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, it absolutely did. You get to travel a lot, don't you? You get to see the world. How does that give you a different, unique perspective on the world and help you create a better world by seeing other cultures, by seeing other experiences and sort of savoring them and soaking it all in?
Thank you. Yeah, I've been actually all continents except for Antarctica, and I've been in everybody water except for the Arctic. And you're absolutely right. So one thing that I realized is that we're more similar than dissimilar. Everybody laughs, likes something or dislikes something. They cry, they can get angry, or they can get happy, or they fall in love. We all have those common denominators. But a lot of times in the cultural sense, we might not actually realize that we are agreeing with certain points of view, even though we do have a cultural change. So probably you hear from my accent, English is not my first language. It's actually my third language. So I might never learn to speak proper English, but I'll do the best I can. But one of the things that I realized is that the culture is directly linked to the grammar of the language. So it's very interesting because sometimes we might actually get in a little bit put off by some way that you're speaking with a person from a different country or from a different language root. And then when you actually learn their grammar, then you start seeing, okay, well, that's how you actually perceive the world, you know, that's how you communicate, that is how the world makes sense to you. And when you're able to bridge that gap, you find out that we definitely have a lot more in common than more that makes us similar than makes us dissimilar. Hopefully that answers the question.
Yes, very much so, which I think is really fantastic because, you know, you get an opportunity to speak to the world and express what you find most interesting or relevant, and you do it in exuberant detail, and sometimes you share the opportunity with friends or family, which I think is been great as all has been evolving in sync with the world, right?
Yes, thank you. I've been seeing this more and more, and one thing that I've learned, and this is going to sound very sad, when my mother passed away several years ago, I realized that time moves really fast, and at the end of that, there's so much that you wish you would have been able to say and make sure that it was communicated rather than just be the assumption that somebody hopefully was expressed in some manner, but it wasn't. So that's whenever I get a chance and I create a busy vision and a half-life crisis so I could actually write as long as I felt that it was needed for me to put my message across. And hopefully somebody will enjoy what I have to say.
Yes, I don't doubt, you know. I've certainly enjoyed what you've had to say, and hopefully we'll get a chance to expand some more.
Thank you so much.
It was really a pleasure, and I encourage folks to go to the website halflifecrisis.com to learn more. And the book, is it also available at Amazon as well, places like that, online?
Yes, it is available everywhere. Definitely Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple Books, Baby Book Bookshop. There, I put the link in my website. If you go to BC Vision and to halflifecrisis.com, of all the places that I was able to find it out. So yeah, definitely, if you look at authoritarianism, ampersand, and propaganda, so authoritarianism, propaganda with the ampersand, you should be able to find it really easily. And, of course, as I say, I put all those links directly. Thank you so much for that opportunity.
You're welcome. Yeah, authoritarianism and propaganda, the puppet master tools. Great conversation, Marcelo. Hopefully we'll get a chance to chat some more. Thanks for your service as well in the Navy. We really appreciate that as well. And thanks for spending time with us on Close Up Radio. I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I certainly have with you, Marcelo.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much to all Close Up Radio for the entire team. You guys have been phenomenal, and I really appreciate everything that you do.
Any last words you want to leave with our listeners that you're thinking about before we wrap in the remaining few seconds?
Oh, I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm very grateful. There's a lot more good people out there than bad people. They just might be making a decision based with flawed points, and hopefully my message will resonate with them.
Absolutely. I think it really is. Marcelo, thank you very much for joining us. I encourage folks to go to halflifecrisis.com to connect with our very special guest. We thank Marcelo and we thank you. I'm Jim Masters, your host, thanking you for your time this time to Lex Tom on Close Up Radio. Thanks for listening and have a terrific day. Also, stay tuned. I'll be back in a few moments with another incredible guest right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Be well and join us again here on Close Up Radio.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.